Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt like the whole world is unfairly aligned against you? Are you being harassed by people that don't like you? David had his share of such experiences. Some of his enemies even tried to kill him. David responded to the charges against him by asking the Lord to hear his case. David knew that the Lord saw the truth about what was in his heart, and he had faith that God would judge him justly and with love. Please open your Bible to Psalm 17 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola begins our study.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy one.
I don't know about you, but I just love the Psalms. Many times in reading through the Scriptures and reading the Psalms written by David and others, I find that many times the Spirit of God through these songs just minister to my heart where it's at. And I trust that that's what the Lord will do for you tonight and for those that are watching online. Psalm 17 is a prayer of David. And he says, "Hear the right or my just plea, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my lip, my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips or lips of deceit. Let my sentence or my judgment come forth from thy presence." It is from you, really, that David is saying, my judgment must come from you. David was a man that had many, many enemies, many adversaries. And here he's making a plea to God as he's once again being judged and being harassed by those who didn't like him. Let my sentence come forth from your presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal or right. And so in this prayer of David, or in this psalm, David is being falsely accused and judged, and he pleads his innocence and opens himself to God's scrutiny. He opens his heart up. He says, "Lord, you search me. You search me." Pastor Chuck Smith said this: "It is important that our prayers not come out of deceitful lips. I am afraid that many times I have prayed rather deceitfully, hoping to sort of con God. I haven't always been absolutely honest in my prayers. I have tried to make myself look better than I really am in many of my prayers, and I have found that God really can't deal with me until I get totally honest with Him." And that is true. God, who knows our heart, He wants us to be honest with Him. Stephen Charnock, who wrote a great two-volume set on the attributes of God, said this: "Feigned lips are a contraction between the heart and the tongue, as if God could be imposed upon by fawning pretenses." He says to the Lord in verse 3, "You have proved my heart. Lord, you've examined me. You've tested me. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me." That word "tried" there in Hebrew means refined, "and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." David is not saying that he is sinless. He is saying that in this particular situation, he is not guilty of the things that he is being accused of. He says, "Lord, you've proved me. You've visited me. You've tried me. I have nothing to hide." When he said that "I've purposed that my mouth shall not transgress," David determined not to sin with his mouth against Saul or any of those who opposed him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, that the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. Why do you put silver in a refining pot? Why do you put gold in a furnace? To remove the impurities. And there is a twofold purpose of God whenever we are being tested. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. One of the purposes is that we might know the quality of our faith. In Genesis chapter 22, remember when God tested Abraham with Isaac? That was a test. God will put you and I in our life through tests such as that. And secondly, there are tests that God allows us to go through that expose and remove the impurities in our life. So there's tests to increase our faith and trust in Him. And then there are tests where God reproves us because of the impurities in our life. There's a lot of dross in our hearts, isn't there? A lot of dross in our hearts. When you and I are experiencing the work of God, experiencing the refining work of God in our life, many times the devil will lie to us and we will believe it because we will interpret God's refining work as punishment for our sins. And that can never be. In fact, that is the most dishonoring thing to say about the blood of Christ. Whenever God corrects us, whenever God tests us, He never tempts us with evil. Whenever He tests us, it's to correct us, it's to refine us, and whenever He does it, it's always in love, it's never in wrath. And when God is chastening you, and one of the badges or confirmations that we are children of the living God is that He will chasten us. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And when we are being chastened by the Lord, we should never, never see it as something evil. It's something that God is doing in you and in me to refine us, to make us more like Christ. It always comes from God's goodness and faithfulness. Chastisement evidences our divine sonship. Many times His chastisements are corrective. They're sent to empty us of our self-sufficiency and self-righteousness. How many times have you thought, well, I can handle this? Or you've felt self-sufficient, and God will show you. No, Raymond, you're not self-sufficient, and you're certainly not righteous, unless it's self-righteous. Sometimes God tests us to reveal our own hidden transgressions and to teach us the plagues of our own hearts. Many times God tests us to strengthen our faith, to bring us to a point where we realize that all I can do is hang on to the Lord and hope in Him and find my strength in Him. The Bible says, don't consider it strange when you go through various trials. God tries us, doesn't He? James chapter 1 makes the distinction between trials and temptations. And James says, don't let any man say when he is tested or when he is tempted. And it's interesting because the same Greek word is used for a test or a trial. It all depends or what it is, a test or a temptation. But we all experience these things. And here, David says, Lord, You've proved my heart. You have tried me. And He does prove us, and He does try us. A.W. Pink says, in divine chastisement, God acts as a father. The objects of His divine chastisement are His children. And divine chastisement is remedial, and divine chastisement always flows from His love. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave you and I to our own devices, our own ways? That's horrible. Look at verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of Thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Concerning the works of men, by the word of Thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. The Hebrew word for destroyer there is violent. It's God's word that reveals to you and I the paths of destruction. Thank God for His word. How we need a hunger and a thirst for God's word, don't we, beloved? How we need to be a word people. Not just the knowledge of it, but the application of it. Notice David says, by your word, I've kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Well, when David didn't heed God's word, where do we find him? On the paths of the destroyer, on the paths of destruction. Notice that there are many paths of the destroyer, many paths. And I've learned in close to 40 years of being in ministry what a price people pay when they follow a path other than Jesus. There's always a price. The enemy baits us and he gets us. It's like, you know, it's like when you go fishing. You know, that poor fish that you catch, it didn't see the hook. All it saw was that fancy lure. Jesus said, follow me, didn't he? That's the path we want to be on tonight. That's the path we want to be on, whatever situation you and I are going through. Follow me. Following a person is much easier than following principles. I've observed that lately in a lot of Bible teaching, and I'm not here to knock Bible teaching in the sense, but here's something that has really, really come to surface lately. I'm hearing a lot of Bible principles taught, and there are biblical principles. And let me tell you, people that are unsaved can follow a biblical principle and be successful or be this or be that. We are not called to follow principles. We're called to follow Jesus. You see, because following a person is much easier than following principles. Let's just say that I am visiting Matt in a foreign city. And he gives me a map, or he gives me directions. And I find myself on such and such a location, and I don't know where I am. So I call Matt. I go, Matt, help me. He says, where are you? Then I'm really confounded. I don't know. He says, I'm on the corner of State and Maine, and there's a big building next to me. Goes, oh, I know exactly where you are. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Follow me. I get in the car and follow him. You see, we need to follow Jesus. I hear a lot of people go, well, I live by biblical principles. Biblical principles didn't die on the cross. How many of you know that the devil knows as much about biblical principles as you and I do? And he doesn't have faith in God. We are to follow Jesus Christ. We were not designed by our Creator for selfishness or wickedness. We were designed by our Creator for servanthood and holiness as modeled by Jesus. Jesus is the path. He is the way. And it's only by the word of God's lips that we are kept from the paths of the destroyer. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His word. And then in verse 5, David says, he cries out, hold up or support my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. So he realizes his weakness. Do you realize how weak you and I are apart from the Lord? Lord, I need you to support me. I need you to hold me up. Now, David mentions the Lord's path. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 talks about two paths. There's the broad path that leads to destruction, and there's the narrow path that leads to life. And Jesus says, few there be that find it. The word for path here in the Hebrew speaks of a well-worn tracks that were made by the wagons. Plain, unmissable. You found the tracks. You traveled along those grooves. Those are the paths that you and I are called by the Lord to be on. You know, whenever the nation of Israel went astray, it was always because they got off the paths of the Lord. It's always because they thought that they were wiser than God. And they would reject Him. They would begin doing their own thing. And the prophet Jeremiah would speak to them, and he would call them to return to the old paths, but they wouldn't want it. They wouldn't want to follow the paths of the Lord. They were following the paths of the pagan gods, the paths of idolatry, the paths of the world. David cries, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. You know, it's only when we choose to walk on God's paths that we will not slip. We're not as smart as we think we are. You know that, right? Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. When you and I follow our natural instincts, it's always the path of destruction. Or it's the path of self-righteousness, which is just as destructive. And I find here in verse 5 a prayer. Hold up, support my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. There is an Indian translation of this verse that reads this way. I place my feet in your footprints so that I will not slip. Lord, place my feet in your footprints that I will not slip. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to think of a right way to go? God's given us the way, and it's Jesus, and it's his word. Thank God for his word, the power in his word, the life that is in his word, the purity that is in his word, the beauty that is in his word. He and many times in the Old Testament, he would call heaven and earth to record. He'd say to his people, okay, here's the right way, here's the wrong way. God tells you and I tonight, choose life, choose my paths. Beware of the paths of the destroyer. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Question is, do you want to be directed? Do you want to be directed? He says, I've called upon you in verse 6, for you will hear me. O God, incline your ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, or literally your committed love. O you that saves by your right hand them which trust in you from those that rise up against them. You know, if you want to defend yourself, God will let you, but he will not help you. And David says, I'm calling upon you to be my defense. It's better to walk in God's path and let him defend you. In fact, that's your best defense against any opponents. Never put a sword in the enemy's hand. Walk on the right path. Note here that David declares, Lord, you save those by your right hand, them which put their trust in you. Well, isn't it interesting? The right hand of God. Note that God saves by his right hand those who put their trust in him. Well, who is seated at the right hand of the Father? It's Jesus. That's how you and I are saved. He's the one that saves us. That word salvation means to be delivered. It means to be made whole. It's such a vast word. We limit it to the forgiveness of our sin and going to heaven. Thank God for that. I'm thankful that I'm forgiven and going to heaven. But it's much more than that. Paul writes to Timothy, he says that the gospel is the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And God has shown you and me tonight, beloved, his marvelous loving kindness, his covenant love. He's showed us that. It's like Matt prayed. There's a lot of other things you and I could be doing tonight, and that's not to judge people that are doing other things. But we didn't come here to have fun. We didn't come here to be entertained. We didn't come here to hear a motivational speech. We came here to worship the living God, to worship the one who has saved us and delivered us, and to hear, God, what is it that you have for me tonight? Lord, test my heart. Show me my heart. And when you pray that, be prepared to hear. Because God will show you. And it will never be to condemn you. It will never be to make you feel guilty. It will never be to make you feel unworthy. He reveals your heart so that you realize just how precious the blood of Jesus Christ was to cleanse you. Remember that. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. He says to the Lord, keep me as the apple or the pupil of the eye, something that one moves instinctively to protect. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Notice David says, keep me, hide me. From whom? From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass or surround me about. David was one of those men that people either loved or hated. You realize that, don't you? You and I as believers, we've come to love David. We've come to, I see David, he's a man after God's own heart. And to this day, 40 years later, as I read through the scriptures and examine his life, I'm thinking, that's quite a statement. If God didn't say in the scriptures that he called David a man after his own heart, would you call David a man after God's own heart? No, probably not. You would probably call him some other things, wouldn't you? But David was a man that could say, Lord, test me. Lord, prove me. Lord, try me. And he asks to be hidden. He had asked to be kept from the wicked that oppress him, from his deadly enemies who compassed him about. Notice it says they are enclosed in their own fat. In the Hebrew, the wicked here are described by these words. Their own fat means they are so full of self-love that they are void of any tenderness or sensitivity. That's one of the definitions of a wicked person. So full of self-love that they're void of any tenderness and sensitivity. A second characteristic, with their mouth, they speak proudly. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people on planet Earth that are enclosed in their own fat. Self-love, void of any tenderness, void of any sensitivity. With their mouth, they speak proudly. Verse 11, they have now compassed us in our steps. Literally, in the Hebrew, means they track me down. They watch my every step. David was watched. He was tracked. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. You ever watch those documentaries about Africa or the big cats? Ooh. There's the lion. They watch their prey. And as soon as they can, they pounce on him. Imagine being David. Imagine David. We're going to see in the next psalm. There's about a 20-year period of time that he didn't know who his friends were. He didn't know who his enemies were. All he knew is that everywhere he went, there were people that were watching him, people that just wanted to pounce on him and do him in. David says in verse 13, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from, notice, men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. In other words, riches and honor are the lots of their inheritance, who have no inheritance among those whose lot is in glory. David asked to be delivered from men of the world. That's mankind in a derogatory sense. That's man without God. That's people who say, I'm okay. There's a lot of people who don't want to live their life with any regard for what God says. All they want to do is live their lives for their ungodly pleasures and lusts. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.